And I was asked to talk about something to generate a little more of discussions about, in particular, this quadratic correction, let's say, divergences that lead to some corrections, because there was in the last years some controversy running over the corrections from graviton loops to gauge cap. And so I will present a list of papers who are dealing with these computations. And I was not involved in that. But in any case, after I will talk a little bit instead of something I was doing with respect to gravitational corrections in systems of scalar and Fermion interacting Coglitalo systems. Okay, all this was generated, let's say, by the idea that even if quantum gravity is not known, and we have discussed a lot about that, as an effective theory, one can expect, in any case, to compute in some range of energy scales at least some quantum effects to all we know in the interactions in the matter system that we can measure. Even if maybe these corrections can be a bit academic because they are very far from being measurable up to now. And here I was saying that I was referring to some wind in the energy, saying that, of course, with this effective, let's say, actually, this description, we mean that we stay always with energy much below the Planck scale normally. And okay, I put some minimum energy because maybe one can imagine that not everything is under control. Maybe there are some decoherence effect. We don't know exactly up to which scale quantum mechanics can be treated, well, let's say, in general, up to, for example, cosmological scales. We don't know exactly. So, in any case, in the asymptotic safety scenario, one is more ambitious, and in this case, the interaction of gravity with matter can be very important to, let's say, affect the nature of the fixed point, which is non-trivial in the ultraviolet. And in this case, the gravitational corrections, of course, are very important, and there is a complete interplay. And let's say the idea is that by just a naive thinking, one could imagine that some beta functions of some dimensional couplings could get a corrections of this kind with a ratio of the energy we were investigating with respect to the mass Planck square, because the graviton couples to matter, and there is a coupling of, let's say, one over the mass Planck, and the charge is the momentum. And okay, here I have a list of some of the papers who were computing, let's say, some gravitational corrections with many different techniques to some matter theory. Apart from the first two dealing with scalar fields, were done by Roberto and collaborators. After, there is a big list of papers we were dealing with these corrections to gauge cap, particular. And after, okay, I've put some other papers which were involving new tower systems, other star papers here. And 1 week ago, there was a last paper about gauge couplings by Martin Holt and so forth. And okay, to analyze these papers, I've tried to to make a different point of view. Okay, the main use that the council method and some directly traditional perturbative quantum theory method without the Brown field. And with the blue, I put the paper which have, which in the computation show the presence of some gravitational effects, and with the red, the one with the don't show of them. There is, okay, all the calculations are off-shell in this approach, and so there is a gauge fixing dependence in general, apart from the, let's say, the approach we try to avoid them using the virtualistic debit at one loop. And regarding the renormalization procedure, there are some approaches which are Wilsonian like, in particular with the function renormalization group approach. And all of them employ some cutoff regularization, which is preserving the degree of divergence. And other, instead, in a way or another, involving one loop integrals, which deals which to be regularized are considered with all dimensional regularization or cutoff. There is also one paper by some Chinese which advocate a new kind of cutoff, which they claim is compatible with gauge invariance, we'll show you a little bit. And okay, so let's say these are all the papers which deal with the Young Mills corrections, and here I wrote the method that they use, functionalization group equation, virtualistic debit, quantum field theory with different ways, and here are the names, let's say, initials of the names of the people. Okay, so the let's say the first paper in about Young Mills corrections is the one of Robinson and Wilczek. And after that, there was one which was immediately criticizing them. So they considered this simple effective action, and employing the background field method here, they considered the quantizations. And so, analyzing the diffeomorphism invariance here and the gauge symmetry that we have here, then one, of course, has to consider a gauge fixing. In particular, as usual, let's consider, let's say, the background gauge fixing. And in practice, this, I've written here in general, it's for the ghost, let's say the gravity sector, we have this general gauge fixing structure. And here there is also a possible, in this CMU, the possible contribution of a mixing with the gauge field. And here also there is the part related to the Yamil's part. And what Robinson and Wilczek consider is a gauge fixing with this parameter, alpha always equal to 1, but they have considered the possibility to have the presence of this term. And instead, Pietrowski has considered a gauge where this term is never present, and instead is analyzing the contribution of let's say the cases with all these gauge fixing. In particular, Robinson and Wilczek, they find that for any zeta parameter here not zero, they have a contribution. And instead, Pietrowski, which is considering this is zero, but any alpha parameter, is finding no effects. They both, I will show you. So the calculation is done, let's say, in the standard way. So they compute the one loop contributions with this trace of the logarithm of this operator. And the contribution to the running are obtain the extracted coefficient of this term, and they both employ an ultraviolet cutoff. And what in particular Robinson and Wilczek find for the case of Z, theta equal to 1, is this term, which was much discussed in the literature. And so what one can see, of course, immediately is that there is a generic dependence on the gauge fixing choice, unfortunately. And okay, one has also to think maybe a bit about, since there is this dependence, also the role of the cutoff. Okay. Since it was everything off shell, there was immediately after a paper, instead trying to see at one loop what could be done to avoid the dependence on the gauge fixing. So they were considering the physicalistic approach, which means that you can compute an off shell effective action without dependence of the gauge fixing. And to do this, one needs to introduce a manifold in which corp is, let's say, mapped by the coordinates, which are the fields. And one using the PDP notation can construct a metric and a connection. And with the connection, one can construct the covariant derivative on the manifold, which depends on the field. And in particular, the gauge transformations can be written in general with it in this way. And let's say that the gauge theories can be seen to have a freedom in the reparametrization in the space, let's say, which is a group manifold with respect to the gauge symmetry group. And with that, in general, the approach is very complicated, but it was shown that using the Landau-David gauge fixing, one could have the connection directly related for this gauge theories the Christoffel symbols of the metric G, and so the computation with this gauge fixing is much simpler, and still it is independent of the choice of the gauge. And so this was done at one loop, so this is the one loop correction with the Gauss contribution, and in particular, can see that when one employs dimensional regularization, the corrections to the beta function are not there. In the case, the cosmological constant is not present. Otherwise, they are present. The only objection to this work is that one can think that dimensional regularization is not showing the nature of the quadratic divergences when you use it to regularize the integrals in this phrase. After that, there was a pure quantum field theory paper by these people, Ebert, Plefka, and Hodigas, and they were analyzing really the Feynman diagrams of gravity, let's say, of the graviton fluctuations coupled to matter. And in particular, for example, for the two-point function, they are employing the Dedondev gauge for gravitons and Feynman gauge for, let's say, the gauge field. And so they have no parameters to analyze the gauge fixing dependence. They computed these two diagrams, and in let's say for pure electromagnetic field is enough. Otherwise, you need also to have the three-point function, four-point function, and then you can see that if you compute the one-loop diagrams with cutoff or with dimensional regularization for the two contributions, you see that the, let's say, divergent part in the cutoff is canceled among the two diagrams, while for dimensional regularization is never there. It's always zero, and so there are no contribution really in the dimensional regularization. In any case, it can be suspicious to have a cutoff because this is not compatible with gate invariance again. And so, okay, here I was already writing what I said. And in practice, this result, which is claimed to show that there are no contributions, is also dependent of the gauge fixing, particularly fixing the action. So now there is this paper of these two people from China who instead were using the same technique of the paper as I've shown before, but employing a cutoff regularization, which is a bit peculiar in the sense that they define something which they say is compatible with gauge invariance. And in particular, they give a precise expression for any integral of this kind, and much more complicated also, such that when you integrate a tensor structure like this one, you have this relation with 1/2 instead of 1/4. And this, they claim that is enough to trace all the correct gauge structure. And they find a non-zero from contribution in this way. But of course, there is this particular definition of the cutoff here. Okay. Yes?
It's called loop regularization, and it's okay. There is one long paper of Wu of I think 7-8 years ago where it is explained how it is defined.
But it does have a truly a proper time representation.
They don't use at all for sure. But I don't know if this can be seen. I really have no idea. And after, okay,
in the last paper, which was out last week by Martin and collaborator, there is an approach which is based on the function Renoir normalization group equation, and let's say that. The first thing which is also nice in this paper, I'd say, is that they make an analysis of the gauge symmetries and they try to deform the diffeomorphism in such a way that the two symmetries, let's say the gauge symmetry of SUN and the diffeomorphism becomes completely independent, because otherwise normally there is a dependence. It's like a triangular system, let's say, when one is making a transformation. And after that, they define the gauge fixing and ghosts and plug everything inside the functional renormalization group approach. And so the equation you've seen already many times in these days, and they compute with the simplest permutation possible the corrections, and they find that there are the contributions to the Yannis data functions, let's say, of the same order of Wilczek, but with slightly different numbers. And what can I say here is that here, of course, the quadratic divergences are kept in the regularization. There is, of course, a gauge fixing dependence. There is also a spin dependence because you can choose different cutoffs and the other thing that one has to think about is that there is a also possible dependence on the permutation, as Martin was explaining the first day of this talk. Okay, here I will talk very briefly about instead what I was involved in. It is about the gravitational corrections in the system when you have a scalar and fermions interacting, let's say, with a Yukawa structure. We have an analysis in general for a function of phi, but of course, the most interesting case is when this is linear. And let's say the what was needed to study this, which was not done before, because for example, a case like this one was very well studied in the past, was the let's say the analysis with the field lines, because we wanted to represent the interactions of fermions with gravitons. In particular, so one is introducing these fermion fields, and one can write everything in the fermionic action in terms of the fermion fields. And let's say that in this case, after we will see that we will, let's say, gauge fix the fermions and write them only in terms of the matrix. But this could not be done. I mean, it could be done in a different way, and so one can try to see what changes if one is doing a different approach. And in any case, so we were working in the background field, like all the processes in functions and algorithm group equations dealing with this gravity case, and the fluctuations being here and the backgrounds here, we employ a flat space background, so there is a gauge dependence, of course. And we consider the gauge fixing with, let's say, two parameter dependence. And in particular, what one can see is that, apart from the gauge fixing dependence, one could try to understand, maybe it's a question for Martin, if one, instead of considering a gauge fixing for the fermion in the symmetric gauge, one is employing, let's say, a different choice, maybe is not, let's say, worth to make a deformation of this to see what happens when one is doing this gauge fixing. So one would have a different interactions among the ghosts of the offer local and the determinant. And in particular, okay, we from the expansion of the effective action, one can extract the running of the potentials here and also of the anomalous dynamics. And in particular, in the first work, and we are now dealing with the anomalous dimension. In the first work, we were not considering anomalous dimension and fixing the field strength to one. If one is doing the computation, one finds, let's say, the beta functions of the potentials. If we expand them in the fields, we can extract the beta functions of various parameters. Here, if one is considering the scalar potential, of course, there are different possibilities that the system is in a symmetric phase or instead in a symmetric broken phase. And in this case, if there is a symmetric broken phase, we consider the expansion around the vacuum, which is not. And so, in the symmetric case, for example, one can see that if one is considering this potential, one can extract immediately the different running and the gravitational corrections are proportional here. And apart from, okay, the structure of the fixed point, which in any case it is interesting from my point of view to be studied only when we will plug all, let's say, the gravitational structure together, because in our calculation the running of G is not considered, let's say, is a spectator. In any case, what is interesting is that in the broken phase, we have seen that since we have this kind of relation for the minimum, when we try to study the beta function of it, we found that the gravitational corrections are absent, so they are not present. So let's say that the position of the minimum is not affected by the gravitational corrections. This case. Okay, and let's say that very recently there was a paper by Rodigast and Schuster, which were computing, let's say, one loop corrections to the Yukawa couplings using, let's say, one loop quantum field theory approach like. Let's say, him and other collaborators were doing for the EPMS case, and they, let's say, find the gravitational corrections only to be proportional to the masses, where instead this is not true for us. And in any case, these people, which is employing dimensional regularization, also is in contradiction with another paper of Tom's, which were performing a computation for stellar fields with the Wittig method and dimensional regularization also, and so something wrong has to be in this computation. Okay. So to conclude, okay, let's say that the major disagreement is related to the treatment of quadratic divergences. And for example, I've learned from Roberto that in, for example, in high derivative modified gravity, there are all the work by Saitin, Hacking, and also from these people, where also in this case, these quadratic divergences are not considered. And let's say that it is nice, in general, the Wittig approach, because, of course, there is no gauge the dependency, in this case, in the study of these effective actions. And in any case, I imagine that if one, in some way, will be able to define some physical observable and compute the quantities, any dependence at the end should go away. And the last thing is that I've not really thought, but I would like to, let's say, eventually consider a Wilsonian approach with the hyperparametrization invariant techniques, but there is, let's say, a really physical obstacle, which is that let's say the cutoff is something physical, and so, of course, it is when you want to define it, you have to make an association of it with some set of fields of coordinates, and so it is not easy that a cross-training procedure can be constructed in a simple way in a generic representation environment of space. Okay, thank you.
In a situation where you have only logarithmic divergences, even if you are at least at one loop, even if you are not too careful, nevertheless, it doesn't matter too much. But in case where you have quadratic divergences, any mistake, like having some cutoff which is not invariant, as it will generate smaller terms which are physically irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So it's rather delicate calculation, and
yes,
one cannot just forget about the invariance of the
I have a comment about this the least degree approach. It's not really gauge independent.
There is a, you want to say that, that you have to choose, for example, a point where you make the.
No, this is just this is just a prescription as good as any other gauge. So you first define this, and then you claim it's gauge independent, but. In the definition, you made a choice how you define effective action.
So, if you want to say, for example, because you have to construct some geodesic in the.
You define effective action in a certain way, and it's as good as any other definition.
And so?
So, the reading of what the story is, you're basically probably computing something which is not well defined if it's case dependent. So, you shouldn't read too much into the result then. Or you should formulate it in such a way.
In a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a question of observable or what you actually compute.
Yes, this is clear. At the end, it's better to have something to do with a physical physical measurement than one.
The only thing is that in
gauge
theory, if you use some minimal subtraction scheme, you manage to get rid of the gauge dependence. And. Of course, in gravity, I've never tried the calculation, so I don't know if it's something equivalent at least. Also, you can, in gauge theory, you can obtain equation which gives you the variation of quantities with respect to to the gauge.
Other questions? Well, if not, we now switch to the discussion time, which means not only questions.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.